And Fast Track is presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. All right, John. Tonight, the evil hated Clippers. They're not evil, but they're hated.
Yeah, you're the one that hates them. I don't hate
them.
Yeah,
I hate the Clippers. Hated Clippers or the Chris Paul-less Phoenix Suns? Call it in the air.
It's heads. Clippers are going to win tonight.
Oh, God.
Heads it is.
God help us.
All right, Mace, I will defer. No advantage comes with that, as you know.
Okay, got it. So over the weekend, I had a couple of bottles of bourbon in the house.
Okay.
One was a bottle of Bullet. You know that bourbon?
Yeah, it's good.
And one was a bottle of Baby Hudson, which is kind of a bougie one that they sent me a couple of bottles for free. I've always contended that it is my favorite bourbon. So I got challenged to try to identify the Baby Hudson from the Bullet.
Okay.
And granted, they're both good bourbons, right? So we did a blind taste test. First of all, I drank a little just to make sure I knew the taste of each one. Then we did a blind taste test, and my job was to find the Baby Hudson. And I failed once. I failed twice. I got it right the third time. But it led me to this conclusion. Is bourbon just brown water? Is brown water just brown water?
No. Well, okay. It depends.
What?
It depends.
Yeah. In other words, is bourbon a real thing tasting it, or is it just brown water?
No. Are you serious?
Well, yeah. No, Mace, it's not a ridiculous question. For example, if I would have had you pick between bourbon and Irish whiskey, you could have done it. Those have distinctly different tastes. Like, I can taste the difference between Bushmills, which is made in Northern Ireland, and Jameson, which is made in the South.
Okay.
I can also tell you the difference between Jack Daniels, which is Tennessee whiskey,
yep,
and Maker's Mark, which is made on the other side of the state. But bourbon tastes an awful lot alike.
Yeah, they do.
It depends what there's in it, but I think a lot of people would have had similar difficulties like you did.
So why buy the? Well, I guess both of these are good bottles of bourbon.
That's by the way, if you drink bourbon straight,
yeah,
then
which is what I did.
Okay, then you may want to buy like one that you like. But if you're mixing it, like I drink a lot of whiskey sours, and sometimes you can put amaretto in there. You can put sweet and sour.
Do you drink amaretto sours?
I have. Or if you drink if you like old fashions have simple syrup in them.
Yeah.
And you're watering, or you're not watering down, but you're changing the taste of the liquor. You can be a little more vague or broad. But if you like a specific whiskey or bourbon, then you can then get the one you want.
But I couldn't find my favorite.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't make a big deal about
no,
that.
No, I just, but it made like me bourbon. Think, why am I buying the expensive stuff? Like, I should get a cheap bottle and try.
Let me just say that people like my dad, who are like a bourbon tasting connoisseur, is very offended by your question. He's one of those
people. He's already offended? Is he listening right now?
I'm sure he is, and I'm sure I'll get a text about it any minute, but he's one of those people who will wait in line for hours searching for the specific type of bourbon. I've actually had him and one of his best friends call me and ask me to get this certain kind of bourbon that they only sell in California, and that they're going to pay me all this money to send it back to them, and they can't find it out there in the Midwest. So, yes,
well,
the bourbon snobbery is a thing.
Okay, there's only one way we can find out, Mace. If you guys out there want to send us bourbon, we'll drink it. I'm kidding.
Send us bourbon.
Yeah, don't send us bourbon. I'm kidding.
Yeah. That ranks right up there with when I was at WNEW in New York and I said, mail me a joint.
And everyone did.
You cannot believe how many joints. And they all got confiscated by the management. But people just, I made it as a joke, and all of a sudden people started mailing me joints. And by the way, that was a time when marijuana was not legal in New York. So, I don't know. I just wonder if maybe I don't have a refined enough palate to tell the difference between bourbons, and maybe it is just strong brown water. All right, it's to you.
Fast track.
All right, stay with me here, Jorge. It's hard to imagine now, Mace, but at this time last year, Tom Brady was a free agent.
Wow.
Recently, in a teaser for the new season of LeBron's HBO show, The Shop, there is a short clip of Brady recounting his dismay when one team passed on him a year ago in order to presumably stick with their starting quarterback. Now, this is quick, but here's what Brady says in the promo.
One of the teams, they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
Okay, so that's part of a conversation he has in the shop. The website, The Big Lead, did some math, and they've determined the team Brady was probably talking about was the Raiders.
No.
Yeah, he said that they figured out all the other teams that could have, at the end of Brady's free agency, been available for him to go to, and the Raiders are the one that was left standing. Now, the Las Vegas went 8-8 with David Carr at quarterback. Tampa Bay went 11-5 with Brady and went on to win the Super Bowl. Here's my question. If Brady would have been the Raiders quarterback, how far do you think Las Vegas would have gone? How much of a difference would Brady have made?
David Carr?
Derek. You mean Carr. Derek.
Right.
Yeah, I say David Derek.
Yeah, you said David. They were brothers. So I think the Raiders finished 8-8.
Right.
They would have been a playoff team for sure. For sure. For show. Would they be a championship team? I don't know if they would be a championship. How much of...
I don't think that gets them past Kansas City, although they did beat Kansas City with David Carr last
year.
Or Derek Carr. I did it again.
Derek Carr.
Yeah. With Derek Carr last year. And I've always liked Derek Carr. I haven't been one of these Raider fans that wants to get rid of him. But that's interesting, isn't it, that Brady forgot that somebody on the internet would probably go and do the math.
Yeah.
And they figured out that it was the Raiders.
Wow. What a huge mistake for the Raiders. What a huge mistake for John Gruden.
Well, what a huge mistake for any team that passed on Brady.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, other than Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, I mean, think of all the teams that could have benefited from having Brady last year, including, by the way, the Patriots.
Oh, for sure.
That they could have worked it out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right,
yeah, what a mistake.
Fast right. track.
After being swept by the Dodgers over the weekend, the Arizona Diamondbacks recorded 25 consecutive road losses. They are 20-54. They look awful. They've got below replacement level players all over the field. It is clear that they are tanking. Is there anything baseball can do about tanking, or do we have to accept it as just part of the game?
Well, the problem is the league is derivative. And the Cubs did this. The Astros did this. And then a few years later, the Cubs won the World Series, and then the Astros won the World Series. So it's not like basketball where Sam Hinkie tried the process, and it looks like the process is going to fail. In baseball, Mace, there's actually evidence that this type of thing can work.
Yes.
It's worked twice in the last decade. So, no, baseball can't do anything about it, particularly if the fans are going to continue to show up and support the team, which in Arizona they've continued to do. So I think that the D-back fans are stuck with it. Don't you?
Oh, D-backs finally did win yesterday.
Yeah, they won
Thanks.
Yesterday last night. Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. I think baseball needs to do something about it. I think they need a first-round draft lottery. I don't think we should incentivize teams to be that bad.
I would totally support that.
They are awful, but there should be a first-round draft lottery, which takes the
emphasis out of sucking. By the way, NBA draft lottery is tonight.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know who's in it this year, because thankfully we're not.
Yeah. The draft lottery is tonight, and the guy that most people think is going to go number one is Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State. But they say there's 10, 12 really good players in the draft next year.
Oh, nice, nice. All right, it's to you.
All right.
Fast track.
Kansas City Chiefs star pass rusher Frank Clark, one of the best defensive players in the NFL, was arrested Sunday after cops say he had an Uzi in his Lamborghini SUV. Police say Clark was pulled over for a routine traffic stop Sunday night in L.A. when cops noticed an open duffel bag in the back of his car. TMZ sources say the officer saw the gun inside the bag and arrested the 28-year-old Clark for felony possession of a firearm. As of last night, Clark was still behind bars in the L.A. County Jail. Clark now says the Uzi belongs to a member of his security team. Here's my question, regardless of who it belongs to, and my question may come off as stupid.
Okay.
Why does anybody need an Uzi for any reason ever?
Well, I mean, it's inexplicable to me. I don't
know
why you need an Uzi. I mean, I understand, and I support anybody who wants to, you know, have a weapon for home defense. I'm different that way. A lot of people are completely against gun ownership. But an Uzi is just over
the top. Is there a practical use for one that I don't know about?
People claim that with these assault rifles that they shoot targets. But I don't know why you
let's be
can't
serious.
Do that with a rifle or a shotgun or
Lindsay,
a
pistol. Can you think of any reason why someone would want an Uzi?
No, absolutely not. They should not even be legal to buy them. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Lindsay, although it's a huge debate that we don't necessarily want to have on this show. But there's a huge debate about gun ownership and assault weapons and, you know, the assault weapon ban in California may be overturned and all that stuff. But, yeah, there's no reason, no use. And I grew up, you know, hunting and fishing as a kid. And, you know, I had a shotgun and still have one. Shot my first buck when I was 16 years old. But there's no reason for an Uzi. It just doesn't make any sense.
All right, so my question wasn't as stupid as I thought it was.
There isn't a reason to.
It just befuddles me why someone would need an Uzi or want one even.
Yeah,
sure. You want to cause trouble. I don't get it. All right, do you get time for one more? Or are we done?
That's it.
Okay.
All right. Coming up next for you, we have given our predictions for the NBA Final Four. I got the Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks. John has selected the Clippers versus the Bucks. And we both have the Bucks winning the championship. What about you? 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Also, there is a brand new movie that the trailer has just dropped. And it is stirring all kinds of controversy and excitement. That's coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, happy Tuesday. I hate that. Why did it even say happy Tuesday? There's nothing happy about a Tuesday. Who likes Tuesday?
It's like, well, it's like not the Monday.
True. It's not Monday. It's not Monday. John, we've talked a lot and played a lot of clips from what we call Karens. So a Karen is a very self-entitled white lady who calls the cops at the littlest thing and causes trouble at stores and all kinds of stuff. So now comes Karen the movie. This movie is directed by Coke Daniels and stars Taryn Manning. And the internet has just received officially the trailer for this. It is drawing comparisons to Get Out. Listen to the trailer.
Do you mind keeping it down? If you don't comply, I'll tell the manager.
Hi, I am Karen Drexler. I'm your neighbor.
You need to be taking your trash cans off the curb right when the trash is picked up.
Wait a minute. We have a white entitled neighbor named Karen?
Karen.
I've come across some very suspecting teenagers.
Suspecting?
Can you please hurry up? Please, it's either very aggressive.
You people are very angry.
Shut your mouth, boy.
Bad things happen to people that don't comply.
People who don't comply.
People who don't comply. At one point, she told a table of black people to quiet down in a restaurant, saying, if you don't comply, I'll tell the manager. That is a Karen.
This movie seems a little racist, doesn't it?
What do you mean racist?
I think that's the point, though. They're calling out the racism of the Karen.
Of the Karens.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't
know if I'm going down this road. I think I'll probably skip it.
I think it's a little, it sounds like Get Out to me. It sounds like reverse Get Out. Does that make sense? Get Out.
In Get Out, Allison Williams only dated black guys who then they took their brains.
Correct.
So this one,
Karen moves in next door and starts being very critical of the neighbors who happen to be black.
Yeah, yeah. Don't we get enough of this in the real world? Do we need a movie that highlights it?
Hang on a second. Jorge, what did you say? You've got an actual?
Yeah, we have an old clip from a Karen at a dentist.
Okay, Karen at a dentist. Here we go.
I'm not racist.
You're going to work on my teeth, not my nose. I don't wear a mask getting my teeth cleaned.
But it's about the safety from our, of all of our...
Fine, I'll cover my mouth. Can I go be seated now?
No, because you're not filling out the forms or letting us take your temperature. It's about protecting our...
You can't take my temperature. That's against the law.
All right, well, I can't...
You're not an MD.
You can't take my temperature. It's against the law.
Do you think... We'll see if Kiki's working today. Her real name, Kiki's real name is Karen.
Yes.
I wonder if your real name is Karen, if you're thinking about changing it.
Yeah, I mean, if your real name is, like, I can guarantee you it is not a baby name, a popular baby name right now.
Right.
Right? Nobody's naming their daughter Karen.
Yeah, I have a cousin named Karen.
Yeah, is she pain in the ass?
Yeah, me too. I have one too.
No, she's nice. I like her.
I have an aunt named Karen. I have an aunt named Karen, and she is a Karen. For sure.
I've got an Aunt Karen who is very, very nice. Although there's speculation in the family. Nobody listens to this show back there. But there's speculation in the family that Aunt Karen might be wearing a wig all the time. We don't know.
Nah,
I kind of think there might be. And you know I'm good at this. I think that might be a wig, but I've never had the nerve to ask or to actually pull her hair.
So you remember for a long time everybody thought you had a hairpiece?
Oh, everybody thought I had a hairpiece. Yeah, I got like the greatest hair in the world.
And people like, it wouldn't let it go. Mason wears a hairpiece, doesn't he?
And I would say, go ahead, pull my hair. Just walk up to me on the street, pull my hair. Hang on a second. We were talking about MLB and this tweet they sent out, big things coming.
Yeah.
And it has tomorrow's date. Here is some theory on Twitter. Moonshots coming, home runs galore, new ball. And unlike Earth with the inner core, this ball will be like the moon, solid. Baseball top shots, NFTs. God, I hope it's not that. I hope it's not that. That is just, I think NFTs are over. I think they're over before they started. Bringing back the ball from last year. Now that would be interesting. So you are tilt. If you brought back last year's ball, and remember, coming into this year, what they did was they deadened the baseball.
Right, to try and keep the home runs down.
And it's been successful. So they've cracked down now on pitchers and illegal substances. And if they bring back last year's baseball, I think all of a sudden we will flip this year into a high-flying offensive season. What do you think?
Can't hurt, right?
Do you think that would be underwhelming? I think that would actually be pretty significant.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a difference it would make, but it can't hurt. I don't know why you wouldn't do it, just to see if you could stir it up, you know?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
You see Ohtani's going to be in the home run derby?
Yeah, that's great.
Good for
him. I think all the big guys should be in the home run derby.
It's Tatis?
I have not heard Tatis. I've not heard Vlad Guerrero.
The only person I think that's committed to do it so far is Ohtani.
And it's coming up fast. When is the All-Star break?
Middle of July.
Mid-July?
Yeah, like July 13th or 14th.
Yeah.
Yes, the 13th, I believe.
13th. Yeah, I haven't even seen the voting. I don't know if are they making a big deal about the
You know who's
All-Star
leading the voting at first baseman for the National League?
Because you phrased it that way, I will say Max Muncy.
Yeah.
Nice. He's having a great year. And, of course, Dave Roberts is the manager, and he's already indicated that Chris Taylor is an all-star. He's not going to be voted in, but he's signaled that Chris Taylor will be one of his players that he puts on the team, and he deserves it too. Chris Taylor is having a great year. By the way, Chris Taylor, Max Muncy, both of those guys virtually out of the game a couple of years ago. Classic 4A players. Better than AAA, not good enough for the major leagues. They bounced around, and ultimately both landed with the Dodgers. This is scouting. Both landed with the Dodgers, and they are both going to be all-stars this year. That is really impressive. That's what makes the Dodgers organization better than everybody else's organization. The way they identify talent. To find those guys, Chris Taylor and Max Muncy. To go panning for gold amongst guys who are out of the game. Like, for example, Steven Souza is now in the outfield for the Dodgers and is off to a pretty good start. There's another guy, kind of a 4A guy, didn't cut it last year. Thought he was going to step away from the game, and the Dodgers went out and got him because they saw potential, and I think he's going to be really good. The Dodgers just scout better than everybody else. They evaluate talent better.
And well, I think you got to credit Andrew Friedman for that. I mean, that's why they've won 8 straight division titles. He probably doesn't get enough credit for what he's done here.
Yeah, yeah. No, he doesn't get enough credit. Doesn't get enough credit. And he's not a showy guy. Like, he's not going to come out and talk about himself and pump himself up
No, I'm not sure. I think Andrew could walk through LA Live and not have anybody bother him.
Nobody would notice. And by the way, talking to Andrew, I've been on the field talking to Andrew before. Wears the sunglasses, will talk for a while, and will literally say nothing. This is a gift that Andrew Friedman has mastered. He can talk. He can do a 10-minute press conference and give away absolutely nothing.
You know, I have that skill.
You can talk for 10 minutes without saying anything?
Ask me anything. Ask me something hard to answer.
Okay. John, how do you feel about Lisa playing tennis?
I think it's a great sport for anybody to play. I think the exercise is great. I think the camaraderie is great. I think the competitiveness is great. I think that it improves your motor skills, your coordination. It is an excellent way to exercise on a regular basis, and I'm happy that she found it.
Okay. Is she any good at tennis?
I think she gets better every day. I think the more she plays, the better she gets, which is why it's such a good sport for her or anyone else to try. Kind of like you with golf. You're getting better every day.
She gets better every day.
2 weeks ago, you couldn't put any balls on the green. Today, you put 10 balls on the green.
Yes.
That's a testament to how great sports are and how you continue to work at them.
Yes. She gets better every day is a classically good answer.
Right.
Can't go wrong with that. You know who's starting to look like a loser?
Besides us.
Ooh. Besides us. A-Rod. Have you seen all the stuff he's doing?
Oh, my God. Yeah, do we have time to talk about this?
Yeah, we'll do that coming up next. It's amazing.
The last thing I read, I couldn't believe.
Yeah, no, it's stunning. That's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
The most impressive thing is how hard you sold that line.
I think the most impressive thing
is
that Morales,
dug that up. Brilliant. Brilliant work by the I team, by the investigative team. But here's how we know
where did the pictures come from? As I suspected, they were
okay.
Googled.
No, wait a minute. Wait, but let's tackle these things one thing at a time.
Yeah. Okay.
Mace, this is how long we've been doing the show.
Yeah.
I have no recollection of that audio. I know it was
me
us.
Either.
I have no.
I do.
You were working for us then?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you remember when it was the last game before the pandemic, and he was sitting next to Michael Wilbon. And he was talking about how he squeezed him out, and
I don't remember any of this. I remember that conversation, but I don't remember any conversation about Mason's shoes. Okay,
yeah,
so now, Mace,
of it.
To Lindsay's question.
Yeah.
Because, by the way, this is like the time you sold the Keith Olbermann is a vegan story, and the only way you got caught is when someone told Olbermann and he called in, or else you totally would have got away with it. Where did you get the pictures of the size 13s?
You know, I turned to a resource that a lot
Google.
Of people tend to use. It is Google.
Google.
So you Googled
Google
a couple of
size 13 shoes, and that's what came up.
The official sponsor of Mason and Ireland is Google.
That is, first of all, I give you major kudos for selling the lie, and an even bigger kudos to Chris Morales from digging up. I never even remember you tried to lie about this once before. And then I made you take off your shoe, and it was a size 10.
The real credit goes to Carlo and Janice. For,
yeah, how
for
did they go
the
back?
Sleuths.
Do we just keep archives of everything that
yeah,
we
that's
say?
That's pretty amazing that they pulled that out.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Good for Carlo and Janice.
Good for them. Good for them.
By the way,
so the truth is out.
Yeah, you get points for selling the lie, man. That was pretty impressive.
All right, so let's do some A-Rod here. So A-Rod, he still works for us, right?
Yeah, well, he does Sunday Night Baseball.
Sunday Night Baseball.
He also works for Fox.
And, of course, he used to date Jennifer Lopez. And after Jennifer Lopez dumped him for allegedly cheating with somebody from Country Charm, is that right?
One of those
Lucky Charms?
Yeah, no, one of those Southern
Charm.
Southern Charm. There you go. I thought it was Lucky Charms. So he was cheated on her, allegedly, and she dumped him. And he immediately started just pining away.
Right.
J-Lo, I love you.
He wouldn't accept the dump.
No, he would not. And so he's been, first of all, he bought a house in J-Lo's neighborhood in the Hamptons.
That, which is just weird.
What?
It's right around the corner from the from her house in the Hamptons that they spent last summer there together with their kids.
Right. So that, number one, is like, okay, he thinks, A-Rod thinks, if I buy the house around the corner, then
maybe
I'll
I can win her back.
Yeah. And then it hasn't. Now, the other thing I read was Ben Affleck used to date some girl who works on Saturday Night Live. Her name is Lindsay.
Yeah, she's a producer for Saturday Night Live. Yes.
And so J-Lo breaks up with A-Rod. Ben Affleck gets back together with J-Lo. And the girl that Affleck used to date from Saturday Night Live was seen this weekend with A-Rod.
What is he doing?
He's like one of these guys that won't accept it. First of all, let me ask any of you guys. Are you friends with anybody you used to date that you broke up with? Because I'm not.
Oh, no. Nope. Never.
No, I would be forbidden. There was actually somebody I wanted to connect to who I used to date, and I was forbidden.
So that alone, Lindsay, how about you?
I am, but I'm also not dating anybody else. And I feel like if I were to date somebody else and they knew the whole backstory and everything, they'd probably be like, I'm not cool with that. I don't know.
Right.
Jorge, what about you? Any of your exes?
Never.
No.
Yeah.
None.
I mean, once you break up with them, if you keep following them around and you buy a house around the corner from and you go date the new guy's ex-girlfriend, this guy, A-Rod's, like, he's going to be in a Karen movie.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he is right on the cusp of stalkery kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Let it go, man. She dumped you.
A little creepy.
Move on. You've got you can date anybody in the world. You don't have to date one of Ben Affleck's ex.
Yeah, it's just
I don't know if he could date anybody in the world, but and even if he could, he's clearly saying she's the only one for him.
Yeah,
you know?
He's basically saying I am J-Lo or bust.
And so if that was true, why'd you cheat on her?
Yeah, that's a fair question.
He just doesn't know how to be faithful. We've heard
be
this that he's got. You've heard A-Rod has a reputation, right?
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're right, Mace. It's a bad look, man.
She sure has a lot of power, too. I mean, the fact that like he's doing all this and he's going to, it seems like, even if you want to say like, okay, at the end of the day, it all happens to be a coincidence. I feel like just because of aesthetics alone, he would not buy that house or he would not go out with that girl just because you don't want people to think like, you know, that's at least that's how I would look at it.
Yeah. I would try to play it off like, yeah I'm
he
okay. I'm totally
desperate.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm totally good. I'm not, I'm, you know, we were together and now we're not. And I'm off doing my own thing. Instead, he's off trying to do the J-Lo stuff.
Playing the Coldplay sad music with the Shrine to J-Lo. That was the first red flag right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's true. That what was he playing to? He was playing Fix You, right?
Fix You, yeah.
Which
and
is the sappiest Coldplay song.
Yeah, he continued to post pictures after they broke up. It's like he just doesn't get it.
Yeah, does not get how he looks.
Let her go.
Hey, okay, we got Radio Tinder coming up. At the top of the hour, at 3 o'clock, I'm not supposed to say top of the hour, at 3 o'clock, a really interesting LeBron James tweet that I want to dive into. It just happened a few minutes ago. We will get to that right after Radio Tinder. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it's Radio Tinder time, and right now I present to you Lindsay, who will give us her Instagram handle. Go ahead, Linz.
Yes, thank you, Mace. That's at Lindsay Baseball, EY, not AY, for any of those who are curious.
Yep.
All right, starting off with the Harlem Globetrotters. They sent a letter to the NBA on Monday petitioning to join the league as its 31st team. The legendary exhibition basketball team, which is known for its players' innovative basketball skills and all that entertaining hoopla, it was founded in 1926. Part of their letter wrote, quote, "Based on what we've already proven, we can field a team of talent on par with the pros of today, and we want the chance to do that. As a world-renowned and legendary professional basketball team, we petition Commissioner Adam Silver, the NBA governors, and the powers that be to grant the original Harlem Globetrotters an NBA franchise. Not now, but right now." End quote. Do you guys agree that the Globetrotters should be considered to become an NBA franchise? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left and hurry up and do it. Look, they're fun to watch. It's really cool.
So that would be a swipe right.
No, swipe
no,
left
no.
is
No, swipe
reject.
Left is no. Yeah,
yes. is a no. Yeah, I think that the Harlem Globetrotters are great for what they are. They certainly have a lot of history, probably 100 years of history. They do great tricks on the court, but they play this woebegone Washington Generals team at every one of their exhibitions. They always, always beat them. They would have absolutely zero chance to be successful in the NBA. John?
You're 100% right. The Globe, but the fact that we're talking about this is a testament to whoever came up with this idea.
Yeah, sure is.
To even suggest, like, I haven't talked about the Harlem Globetrotters in 5 years. And for them to send this letter and get people like Lindsay to notice it and put it out there is a stroke of marketing genius. But they would be worse than the Houston Rockets were this year. They'd have the worst record in the league every year. You can't do it. I'm with Mace. Swipe left.
All right.
Well, I agree with you guys, and I just want to know: have you guys ever seen them in person? Because I've never seen them.
Oh yeah,
I did see them in person when I was a kid, and they were fun. So I saw them at Centennial Hall in Toledo, Ohio.
When I was working as a reporter in Beaumont, Texas, somehow they got word that a handful of us played pickup basketball, so we got to play for the Generals against the Globetrotters.
What? You suited up for the Washington Generals.
Wow. I was with the ABC affiliate. It was me, a guy from the CBS, and a guy from the NBC.
I wish somebody had some video of that.
Oh, yeah, so do I.
Did you get schooled?
Oh, yeah. They killed us. I scored a basket, though.
Oh, good job.
Yeah, we lost probably 100 to 58. It was like a
Have the Generals blowout. Ever won?
I don't think so.
No, I think that's part of the shtick. Like, it's a team of woebegones, you know, whatever the word is.
Wouldn't it be great if just one time, the Generals said, you know what, we're not going to play your game. We're not going to be clowned. We
somebody,
are going to try to win.
Somebody, Jorge, Google that. Have the Generals ever – I think it did happen one time.
That's the number one argument right there. You can't even beat the Washington Generals. What makes you think you can beat an NBA team?
I think it did happen once. Like, the Generals, just all the shots they threw up went in, and so the Globetrotters lost, but it's only happened once.
All right.
It did happen once in 1971. Yeah.
There you go. It's been 40 years or whatever. There you go. All right. Well, speaking of offensive slumps, they seem to happen to pretty much every MLB team during a 162-game season. Yep. And you always just hope that they're kind of short-lived. But mental mistakes are tougher to forgive, though. And one happened last night. Cubs shortstop Javier Baez forgot how many outs there were in the fourth inning in their game against Cleveland. And he was easily doubled off of first base on Anthony Rizzo's routine fly ball to left. Despite his team losing at the time and Baez being one of the best hitters on the team, Cubs manager David Ross pulled Baez from the game and benched him. Would you pull your team's best player and bench him over a silly mental mistake? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right, you have to. Because if you let him get away with it, then there's no accountability for anybody else. This, remember last year, Mace, is the manager of the Braves, Brian Snitker, does that sound right?
Yep, that's right.
He ended up benching Ronald Acuna because Acuna did something bad like this. If you let a guy get away with that, then what does that say to the rest of you? Do you remember when Corey Seager didn't run out of ground ball and Dave Roberts pulled him? You have to set an example for the rest of your team. I totally understand why David, especially a first-year manager like David Ross, maybe in a second year, I can't remember, but you can't let guys get away with that. I totally support Ross.
Completely disagree. You're down 1-0. Javi Baez made a mistake. He's got 16 homers and 44 RBIs. What gives me the best chance to win the game? Javi Baez in the lineup. There is no way I would pull Javi Baez. I mean, there'd be a stern talking to, and there'd be a conversation afterwards, but there's no way I'm pulling him in a game where I've got a chance to win, and he's your leading hitter.
Right, but you got to draw the line someplace. I mean, you can't.
No, you made a mistake. I mean, okay. I don't think we should be judged by his worst moment. I mean, it happens.
A brain
sometimes.
Fart. Yeah.
All right.
Wait a minute.
Okay. So wait a minute. What if he didn't run to first base on a ground ball? Is that different?
No, because that's effort. No.
Okay,
yeah, that's an effort.
So you
thing.
Would bench him for that?
Yes. You could?
No, I wouldn't. If I'm down 1-0, I'm not taking my best hitter off the team. I'm not taking him out of the lineup, off the field.
What happens if he – no matter what he does, he can do anything he wants.
No. I mean, obviously, you're going to – what are you going to bring up? Some crazy hypothetical?
All the things I'm going to bring up are baseball-related. For example, what happens if there's a double play ball and he makes zero attempt to take out the infielder at second base? He doesn't even run to second base. He just stands in between first and second and lets his teammate get doubled up.
Well, I mean, you're creating crazy hypotheticals. All that
these are common baseball mistakes. Would you let him get away with all of them?
So you're suggesting he would stand between first and second base.
Not hustle.
On a double play.
What if he pulls a Manny?
Hustling is different. That's an effort thing. This is like a brain fart.
Right.
You figure out how many outs there are.
Right.
They're two completely different things, right?
Yeah, I think David Ross has to use that as a
chance. Yeah, by the way, congratulations to David Ross. He lost 4-0 to the Indians.
Wait. Remember when Tom Brady forgot how many downs there were in like a critical game towards the end of the season?
Get him off the field!
Did they pull him?
Yeah, it's tough to do. That's Tom Brady.
Sure, but Javi Baez is the best player
is the best player on the Cubs.
Yeah, I have no problem with what David Ross did.
Yeah, I think sometimes people make mistakes. I swipe left. I say I would have left him on the field. Maybe I don't lose that game 4-0 with Javi Baez in the lineup.
Good point. I'm with you, Mace. All right, so Chris Paul, Kevin Love, and Chris Middleton will play for Team USA in the Olympic Games in Tokyo, according to media reports that surfaced today. The Athletic reports that Paul will join the team, with ESPN confirming the addition of Love and Middleton. USA Basketball itself has not confirmed the team, but the media reports indicate 11 players are now committed to the 12-team roster, including Paul, Love, Middleton, and Kevin Durant, James Harden, Devin Booker, Bam Adebayo, Draymond Green, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum, and Damian Lillard. Sounds like the Monstars or whatever, you know, the bad team is in Space Jam, right? The villains. Is anybody beating Team USA in the Olympics? Swipe left or swipe right?
Probably not, but the rest of the world's catching up. Spain is going to be good again. Canada is probably going to have a pretty decent team. Before Ben Simmons dropped out, Australia had a chance to medal. There's a lot like, Serbia that Jokic would
Serbia
play for?
Serbia went to the finals in 2016, and we beat them 96-66. We beat them by 30.
Yeah,
and Jokic was on that team.
Yeah, I think the U.S. wins with that roster you described, Lindsay, but it's not a lock.
By the way, Spain, in the semifinals we played, and we beat them 82-76, so a much, much closer game. I don't know if Gasol going to play for Spain? I would imagine he will, yeah?
Yeah, Mark.
Mark.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah.
The other person that they're saying is going to – well, Devin Booker, too. I mean, I feel like that's as close to a lock as you can get.
Yeah, I mean, I would bet the ranch on the United States to win the gold medal. I was there that one year. What was it, Sydney, did we lose?
I think Sydney,
we lost that 2000 team.
Yep.
And that's the only time we've struggled since we went to the pros, or since we went to professional players at the NBA. So, yeah, I think we win this thing going away.
Do you guys have a problem with any of these guys? You know, like, do you want anyone from the Lakers?
Curry not on that team?
No, he declined. Curry? He declined yesterday. He said he's officially not opting out of the Olympics.
Has Curry ever played for us in the Olympics?
It's a very good question.
Was he on the 2016 team? I think he probably was.
He probably was. He probably was. I'll check it as we go along here.
Okay.
But, I think we will win this whole thing going away. We have the best players.
Well, if you have Devin Booker and Dame Lillard at guards, you'll be fine.
Yeah,
I don't think he has. From what I just quick Google search, I don't think he has.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I know Clay has, so I would assume Steph had, but maybe not.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
Steph
that'd be
has
something
never been to the Olympics.
Yeah, that'd be something you'd think that he would want on his
resume.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I think your basketball resume is not quite complete without an Olympic gold medal.
Well, with the short off season last year and trying to make sure you get healthy, but then again, he's won so many titles. Like, I don't know. I feel like Steph Curry should. I feel like he's making the wrong choice there, but that's just me. All right, last one here. So, Wingstop is expanding its body of chicken offerings with Thigh Stop, an online only temporary restaurant that will deliver chicken thighs via DoorDash amid a chicken shortage. This new Psy concept will be available at more than 1,400 locations nationwide and is addressing the, quote, consumer's fear of a chicken wing shortage head on. We think the Wingstop CEO said, quote, we think they'll appeal to guests because they're a different part of the chicken and therefore a new way to experience Wingstop flavor. They eat like a wing, but with more meat. Will you guys give Wingstop's new Thigh Stop a try? Swipe left or swipe right.
All right, so first little story. Occasionally, because they're a sponsor,
yeah,
Wingstop will bring stuff in when we do the Lakers
games.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
And I have to tell you, no matter what they've brought in, it's been great. Like, I look at it and go, what's that? I don't think I'm going to try that. And, like, Jorge, you or somebody running the board will go, oh, that's the honey Cajun something other, and I'll take, and it's great. They have won me over as Mace. I'll try anything they put into the marketplace just because I've done it before, stuff I never thought I would try, and every time I've tried it, it's been great. So they get the benefit of the doubt. I'm in.
Yeah, you know, I would also give them a shot. I mean, I'm in it for the coating, right?
Right.
Like, I love the Louisiana rub. That's my favorite one. And the Megan, was it mango habanero is the other one, I
yes,
think.
Like, oh, yeah. That's all stuff I would never be interested in, but I've tried it with them, and it's all been good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in it for the sauce. So, yeah, a thigh does give you more meat. And until this chicken wing shortage is over, I intend to order chicken thighs.
Wait,
thank you,
question.
Wingstop, for supporting the station.
When you eat a chicken thigh covered with wing sauce, do you eat it like a chicken wing? Or because typically aren't they eaten with like a fork? Or how's that work?
No, never.
Never with a fork. You pick that sucker up and you eat it like a corner cob.
Yep. Lindsay, you rip that thing in half and start chowing down.
Yep.
Then my question is, why is that not more of a thing already? If it's bigger and more meat on it.
It could be.
Well, it may turn into a thing.
You ever hear the story about how Reese's Pieces were born?
Mm-mm. Yes, about E.T.
Okay, so
and they wanted
Steven
to use
Spielberg
M&Ms.
Wrote E.T. and the way that they or produced E.T. and the way that script went was E.T. loved M&Ms. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to eat M&Ms at any, like, he was obsessed with M&Ms. They gave the script to the guys who run M&Ms. They said, we don't want our product associated with an alien. And Reese's goes, we'll make up something that he can eat. We think this movie's going to be a huge hit.
Wow.
And that was the birth of Reese's Pieces. So maybe this will be the start of something Wingstop will be selling for a long time. You never know.
Yeah, could be. We love Wingstop. I love all their flavors and all their wings and all their thighs. And thank you for being a sponsor.
Good job, Mace. Good job.
I know what side of the bread is buttered here.
All right. So
you got one more?
No, I mean, no. I have one more if you want, or we can. But I think it's probably time for us to break.
Okay, now for us to break. Got it. Thank you.
What's this?
I'll save it for tomorrow.
You were talking about with LeBron.
Coming up, I will read that tweet from LeBron, which is intriguing. Plus, John, Samuel L. Jackson. I shouldn't call him Sam Jackson. Samuel L. Jackson has released his list of what he believes are his five best movies.
Interesting.
And I have a different list, and I'm guessing you probably have a different list.
Yeah.
Go through his IMDb page and put together your list of top five Sam Jackson movies.
Okay.
And we'll do that coming up, too. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.